A very good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Very good morning, my dear listeners. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you find yourself in the globe. So welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Saturday morning. How is your Saturday so far, wherever you find yourself? So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station. And welcome to Mind Matters, the show that explores the fascinating and sometimes frustrating, but always powerful working of the human mind. So our time is about 13 minutes past.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock.
All right, so welcome back. That just sneak up on me. All right, so as I said, welcome to Mind Matters. This is the show that explore the psychological patterns and the social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and how we make choices in life. And then we normally comes, so this is a weekend program that comes every Saturday from 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. I will be with you from now on until 1 o'clock, and these hours we call them a mental health hours. So as usual, you're most welcome to come through and you know, if you have anything that is actually, you know, if you have questions or things that you want to talk about, especially when it that pertaining to mental health issues, so you are most welcome. This is your program to do that. This is your show to do that. And this is the platform that we have created, Eagle FM have created, for you to come through and your mental health issues or any other distressful kind of situation that you find yourself in, or emotions that you find yourself in and you don't know how to deal with that. So even if we're dealing with a different topic and you have really something that is depressing you, that is taunting you, that is, you know, maybe you are in the situation where you don't know what to do. You're thinking of even, you know, committing, you know, or ending your own life. Please, and there are things that you probably want to discuss about, or maybe you're just going through a lot of other issues that you don't know how to deal with it. So I'm not saying I'm going to solve those things, but we are going to discuss about. We might going to look at what are we? We may looking at what the possible options that are there for you or for the person you are thinking about, so that we'll make that first steps. So that's why we keep talking and said, reach out. So this is also the platform where we want you to reach out. So because there are people that we know, that we can always, you know, refer to, we connect you with people that may help you. And also if we can't help you here, so as I said, we can be able to do that. And that's the point of this show as well. So we have experts as well that are listening that may come through as well and be able to contribute to the show as well. So our time about 17 minutes past the hour of 11, and welcome to Mind Matter. My name is Mike Oshoveli and I'm your host for this show at this morning. So our topic today is a question that sit at the heart of so much human suffering. Okay, this is a topic that really sit at the heart of so much human suffering, and the topic is how do events or challenges or just life itself, how does that push a person to the point where they feel that it is no longer worth living? All right. You remember these three Saturdays, The other Saturday, we talked about why men actually are ending their life. Why are they dying in silence? So we're looking at, we focus particularly on men, and because we see in our country, suicide is actually become now, you know, one of the leading, you know, the leading cause of death in our society, and especially men. The major 80% of the suicide statistics, men are the ones that are taking their life more compared to other, compared to women. So yeah, we looked at that. I had Father a Catholic priest who actually run an organization called Londoloka. So we talked about that, you know, in really, and we look at various aspects. We look at also the symptoms. We look at how do we help men to deal with the issues that they are going through. We help you to understand what are the aspects men are going through and all that. So, and then last week I had Bros Singer, as a clinical psychologist, and we talk about, we picked about the financial stress. So we look at the financial stress, and typically we're looking at how that influence how people make decisions, and one of that deciding actually to end their life. All right. So we continue. Now I'm kind of like now putting all that together. Now, you know how, what I deal with most of the time, I look at the process that your mind go through. Okay. That's what I really look at. So how are we going to look at these? We're going to look at in three, we have three principles now. So we are going to look at this in the three principles. So one is that the way we feel is, well, the principle one that we're going to look at is that the way you feel is largely our own doing. But we're going to look at that, you know, because now we're talking that certain, we tend to say that kind of event makes someone do this. That kind of event makes someone do this. You understand? So we kind of focus that it's the event that actually make you do this. So it's an event that make you feel this way. So we're going to look at that. We're going to go into that. Yeah, we're going to go there. We're going to go into that, into that detail. The other principle then, so we're also going to look at our emotional response are shaped by our conditioning. Okay, why do we have two people experiencing the same thing, experience the same event, or being in the same situation, but experience that differently? So it's because they are conditioned by their environment, upbringing, experience, so many things. So we're going to look at that as well. And then, so what at the end, what I want you to understand is that the principle number three is that your emotional response. So your emotional response, is 100% in your control. What I want to do in the end is that we want to take back. I want you to take back that control, that you are the one in control of your own emotions, no matter what happened to you. So that is the basis on what we are going to focus on. All right. So I hope you stay tuned, and I hope it will be very interesting. I would invite you people who have gone through this experience, especially what we're looking in today is that how do events, you know, those events and challenges and life itself, how do they push a person, how do they push you to a point where you want to end your own life, all right? Or where you think that life is not worth living anymore. So we have had stories, and maybe we lived them, you know? So think of just giving an example quickly, you know, that maybe we can look at. So think of a successful business person who loses his company overnight. So, or think of a woman, a young woman who goes through a devastating breakup. Eh? So situation, or maybe you are diagnosed with, or you maybe you actually diagnosed with a terminal disease or something like that. So we look at this and say, the event is the cause. And we say, oh, he lost his will to live because he went bankrupt, for example, the business person, isn't it? So he lost his will to live because he went bankrupt. Or she became deeply depressed because of the breakup. Do you understand? Those are the things that I'm talking about. But here's the question now for you to ponder. This is what I want you to ponder. So have you ever seen, and I said this earlier, have you ever seen two people then go through the exact same situation and have widely different outcomes? So let me also, so that you understand what we're talking about. Let's take the job loss example. Now we have John. John loses his job and see that as a complete failure. So he sees that as a complete failure, a sign that he is worthless, and he thinks his entire world has collapsed. So he thinks the entire world has collapsed. So he started to isolate himself, and that dark feeling of hopelessness, it starts to creeping in. So it starts to creeping in. And then let's call him Mark. We have John, and let's call this one Mark. Now, Mark worked at the same company as John in the same role, also get laid off. He also get laid off. And while Mark was under, you know, definitely sad, scared also, or angry also, he sees differently. So he sees differently. Of course, I think, you know, of course he thinks this is devastating, you know, like what John felt. So, but he started to think that maybe this might be a time for me to start that business I always thinking about, to start my own business. Maybe this is actually pushing me, you know, to start my own business. Or maybe he's thinking, oh, maybe this is a chance now to step more, you know, to spend more time with my family. And while I'm figuring this out, do you understand the two people? So the event was identical, was the same. The event was all, both of them were laid off, but the external experience was really a world apart. Now, this is what we are looking at this morning. Okay. So that's what we're looking at that space, the space between what happened to us and how we feel about it. Because in that space lies the key to either to resilience, to hope, to understanding why we feel the way we do. So, and we will be back and then get right into this.
This is true and I'm good and I want this, but I still need love cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, can you hold my hand? I want you to stay with me, cause you're darling. Stay with me.
Yo, kid, don't just shut
up. Oh, won't you stay with me? Because you're all I need. No, this ain't love, it's clear to see. Oh, darling, stay with me. Darling, stay with me.
Okay, welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 11. And welcome back to Mind Matters. So before the break, we talked about how the same event can trigger vastly different reaction in people. And this brings us now to our first and perhaps the most challenging principle for today. So the way we feel is largely our own doing. Now, remember this, the principle that we're going to bring up here, what I want you to understand the line of thinking, okay? The line of thinking, because what we're looking at, remember the topic is, what we're looking at is the topic that our topic is that, is basically the, how challenges lead to despair, you know, how challenges lead to despair. And now, I want to, how do then we can regain or reclaim that control? But specifically, we're looking at how do events or challenges or just life itself, how does it push, you know, a person to the point where they feel that life is no longer worth living? And the reason behind this, and we have been doing this now for previous Saturdays, we're looking at that it has become, you know, quite apparent in our country, where we have so many men taking their own life. And here, what I'm trying to do with this is actually to go in your head. It's to go into your head to see how do you reasoning to the point where now you decide to think this is the right way to do, this is the right way, this is the decision I need to take. So we're looking at that process, you know, how does that process actually happen within your mind? And we're looking at that with three principles, okay? So with the three principles, the first principle is that the way we feel, you know, because remember what I said, that we tend to, when we feel in a certain way, we tend to think that it's because of that. Yes, that's a trigger, and we're going to see that, but that's something that triggered some kind of feeling in us, but we have 100% control of how we can choose to feel, okay? As we have seen with the two people, with the example of the two people that we are given earlier on. So now, the first principle, the way we feel is largely on our own, is our own doing. So now, that means if you feel in a certain way, you have actually decided, contributed today in the way how you interpret that. And we're going to go into that now. And the other principle also, we're looking at that, is also that our emotional responses are shaped by some kind of conditioning, either from our bringing up, our experience. So we're going to look into that as well. And then your emotional response is 100% in your control. So let's get into the first principle. Now, when the first principle is that the way we feel is largely our own doing. So you might start to think, hey, hold on. I know how that sounds like. I know how this is sound like. It can sound like I'm blaming you for your sadness. I'm blaming you for your anxiety, or I'm blaming you for your pain. No, that absolutely not. What this means is that the pain is real and your struggle is, it's truly valid. It's, you are going through this. It's a true valid experience. What this principle means is that we need to shift our focus. So it's not about what the world or other people or situation are doing to you. It's about how. Now, this is about how you are interpreting and responding to those things. So you're following me? All right? So what I want you now to think, I want you now to realize is that, okay, so this is when I want you to shift your focus. The focus is not about what the world and other people and situation, what they are doing to you. It's not what they're doing to you, but it's how you are interpreting and responding to those things. So that's the thing. So let's use a simple everyday example. You are driving, okay? Now, let's give it that example. You are driving. I just want to give you an example. I want you to start to think. When you started to think about that, you want to take your life just because life is not kind to you, just because nobody loves you, just because you are in this in debt and you don't know how to. That means you are interpreting that situation. You are interpreting that situation. And your response would actually based on how you interpret it. So I want to give an example, a simple one, of you driving, those who drive probably. So let's say, for example, someone cuts you off in traffic. So, you know, your heart starts to pound, you know, kind of like you get angry, you get, you know, there's that flash of anger. And then you have that automatic reaction. So, but what happened next? You have that automatic reaction. So let's have two people. You have, let's call the first response A. Okay. So what happened? First, you could be pressing that horn, pa, 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 hooting, you know, shouting even things that I can't repeat on the radio. So, and then you spend the next 20 minutes really fuming. You are angry. You replay it in your head. Yeah, the nerve of that guy, you know? Some people are just so disrespectful. You understand? So you get to work. Let's say, for example, you get to work angry, and as you come in your office, you snap at the coworker, you know, and your whole morning is actually ruined. So what happened? The event controlled your entire emotional state. Eh? The event, it's the one that has control, that is actually controlling your emotional state. I want you to remember that. Okay? So, or let's go to response B. Eh? Same situation. So, now, you may feel, response B, you may feel that, you may feel the same flash of anger, yeah? The same anger. But then you take a deep breath and you think, wow, that was dangerous. You could have said, wow, that was really dangerous. That was, whoa, what could have happened? So I hope you may start even thinking, I hope they're okay. Or maybe they are rushing to the hospital or what, you know, you let it go. So by the time you pull into the office parking, you have forgotten the event. You have forgotten that happened to you. Same event, different reaction. Why? It's interpretation. So it's how you interpret that event. The event was the same. Getting cut off, but your interpretation, that guy is a jerk who disrespected me. If versus that person is in a rush for some reason, that would create different emotion within you. So your subsequent response determined your emotional reality. So you understand. So whenever you feel in a certain way, it could be an automatic reaction that you have developed through through your life, and we're going to talk about conditioning as part of that. So it could be an automatic reaction that you have developed that you don't even think about it. So I always give this example of someone. If you grew up told that if someone swear at you with your mom, you have told that's the worst insult. Okay? That's the worst insult. So you actually have grown up told that that's the worst insult, and you must never let anybody actually swear to your mom. Now, if someone mentioned about something about your mom, and you have grown up being told that the worst is actually that's the worst insult, you don't even think, you just react. It has become a reaction that you don't even think about. Do you understand? So that's the conditioning that we're talking about, but also your reaction comes to an interpretation of what that means. So what I want you know to understand here, all right, and then we're going to combine that when we're talking about the conditioning is when, and your own control of your own emotions, is that the process that you're going through. So you're doing your interpretation. Those interpretation, since that we all do something differently, it's not a must. Do you understand? It's not like this is what it should be. So there are option of or in the way that you can actually think or that you can actually interpret that situation. Are you following me? So wherever you are now locked and thinking, okay, people don't love me. I'm not going to survive this. This is too much for me. You see what? When you're telling yourself this, you are interpreting that situation. And you are the one now create, you know, you're definitely your response to that would determine your emotional reality. Think about this. And when you are angry, when somebody passes in front of you, you say, this person is disrespectful. What the hell is you? So that in itself, it's creating the emotion in you. The nature, the intensity of kind of emotion that you have, it comes from your interpretation. And today, we're talking about, especially in reference to wanting to where you don't see life worth living anymore. So definitely when now you interpret the situation and think the life is not worth living, that would determine your emotional reality. And your emotional reality mostly leads to the decision that you make. So I want you to understand that process. When you are aware of this process, you actually can now, you can able to say, aha, I'm actually doing this. I could actually look at this differently. So we often believe that our happiness depends entirely on what happens to us. But experts are telling us that the real power lies in how we respond. So let me go. I'm going to discuss some key trait that you need to understand to take back now that control. Okay? So, and first up, let's talk about perception and interpretation that was talking earlier. So look, the exact same thing can happen to two people, as we have seen that, and they can walk away feeling completely different, as we have seen that. Imagine two workers. Let's give another one quickly. Imagine two workers getting the same critical feedback from their boss. Okay? We do get that as workers. You know, one might feel devastated, thinking, oh, I'm a failure, or, you know, this doesn't like me, or whatever the case may be. So the other one may see this as, well, great. Now I know what to improve. You see the difference. The other one is thinking, I'm a failure, and, you know, maybe the boss hate me, and, you know. And the other one look at that, wow, great. Now I know where to improve. So the event was the same. So their belief and past experience shaped how they interpreted it. I'm saying that your beliefs are It's your framework. It's your reference. It's your beliefs are more like your library. Anything that you do, it's based on the beliefs, whatever beliefs. And I'm not talking about believing in God and, well, part of that, but I'm talking about anything you do, it's coming from your reference that you have built up, the reference that you have built up over the years. So including your values, your expectation, your desires, your needs, all that would determine, you know, your interpretation. Okay? So, and your past experience, that shape how then you interpret. So you interpret any situation. So, and that's why you react different compared to the other person. So in reality, it really shows that it's not just the event. It is not just the event, but the story you tell yourself about the event that create the emotion. Oh, I wish you sit in front of me and I can look into your eyes. Okay? So it is the story you're telling yourself about the event that creates that emotion. As I give an example of as I say, if somebody swear you at your mom, so your interpretation is that it's the reality that you grown up told that what it is. You always think, oh, kwa dina ngema, ngeri am, otatoku na meme. You see, by saying that already, you are creating that anger emotion in you. And that's the same in any other. When we're talking about now, you know, when you don't see life as worth living, you are creating that emotions by the way you interpret. And that's what I want to emphasize for you. So, and that's what I want you to notice. Okay, in your mind process, in how you're thinking in your mind. So the story you are telling yourself about the event that creates the emotions. Okay, so and remember the cycle. So the way you're thinking would create the way you feel, and the way you feel would create the way you behave. Okay, remember that circle that we have talked about. We have talked about that couple of times. So the way you think would influence the way you feel, and the way you feel would then influence the decision that you make and the choices that you make. So remember that then. So as part of what we're talking about here. So the other part, all right? And then when I said your perception and your interpretation, at least, and that lead now as directly to our second point, you know, that's now the your thought patterns. All right. So, you know that. What is that little voice in your head saying all days? Every day, you are not on your own. You are not alone all the time. You always seem to have someone who's talking to you. That little voice. So that voice, so what is that little voice is, what is he saying? Okay, and remember that voice, remember whatever it tells you is something that has been, it's formed, whatever message it tells you, it's formed up by from your upbringing, it's formed up by your experience, it's formed up by what you have been taught, so many by your expectation, by your values. That voice, it's kind of like it's the one that have all what you've gone through, and it's your guide. So let's say, for example, you have been beaten up since you're growing up. Beaten up. Anything you have done, you are beaten up. So you actually then grow a voice that tells you that whenever you've done something bad, whatever you have done something deemed to be bad, you need to be beaten up. All right? So what happened? So when somebody actually done something bad, so your voice tells you, no, beat him up. So your voice, that voice, it tells you that beat him up, because that's what you have known, and he formed that voice. You know, it formed that, that voice becomes like your value, becomes like your guide, because that's what it has been formed up. Eh? All right. So then it becomes your guide. So, but then, since we have different experience in life, yours will be different from mine. And yours, his will be different from, you know, from the other person. So that when we meet, let's say for example, when in a relationship, when we meet, so we all have different, of course, values and experience and all that. And we have that voice that telling us different things than compared to the others. So now the question is this voice your biggest critic? Because for some, this voice could be the biggest critic, or is this voice your biggest praise, or your biggest cheerleader? Okay? Is this voice your biggest critic, or is your biggest cheerleader? Because constantly, and I'm talking about thought patterns here now, constantly there are some people who are being you're that voice keeping telling you you're not worth, depending on your experience in life. Eh? You won't be able to do that. You're not meant to do that. You're not meant for that. You are a loser. So it keeps telling you you will not succeed. It tells you only the negative things. So say if you miss a deadline, your immediate thought could be, oh, this is catastrophe. Eh? I'm going to be fired. So you start panicking. Eh? And this way you are feeding your anxiety. You're kind of feeding your anxiety. That is the negative thought pattern. You keep feeding your anxiety all the time. And on the other hand, there are those. On the other hand, if you think, oh, okay, I mess up. You understand? I mess up. But how can I fix this and prevent it from happening again? You see, you are now using a rational thought to promote a feeling of control. Eh? I say rational thought. So to promote a feeling of control, not panic. So that self-talk, that little voice is incredible, incredible, incredible powerful. Okay? Because even when you decide to go, because last time when we were talking with Father Werner, when we were talking about mentex, he said the people actually hearing voice telling them, you must go and kill yourself, go and end your life. Because people here, these people don't care about you. Whether you die or you live. You understand? Is that voice informed? So that's, and I want you to understand that, that what it tells you is not, for some people we're taking it as that the amen, that voice is amen. It's not always telling us the truth. It's telling what you have experienced and how you have handled, you know, things. But it's not, it's a truth in terms of what it tells you, what you have gone through. But sometimes that what you have gone through and what you want to do is not the truth. When you say, okay, here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying that is that the voice may tell you that people don't love you anymore. So you are really worthless. You have nothing to offer to these people anymore. Eh? So you lose your job. Nobody cares about you. Nobody respects you anymore. When the voice tells you that, it's not true. Eh? So, and you started to see, yes, you see, nobody comes to me and ask me advices anymore. Nobody come and ask me money anymore because I don't have, whatever the case may be. And you started to believe, you know, and nobody seemed to respect. So the voice becomes stronger and stronger, and you started to see sign that actually confirm, that seemed to confirm. not confirm, but seem to confirm what you're actually, what your voice is telling you. And it becoming stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where you started to believe it. So now, this is not just about a single thought, okay? It's also about your overall mindset, okay? So nowadays they talk about a fixed mindset and also a growth mindset. So now a fixed mindset is that you believe talents are fixed. Okay? You're either good at something or you are not. Okay? That's a fixed mindset. Okay? Or thinking in terms of have you ever people who said, I'm a second drinker, that's how I am. Okay? So they kind of like, I'm fixed. There's nothing you can do. Oh, so getting out, don't change your, you won't change that person. That's how they are. That's a mindset. That's a fixed mindset. So, and for the fixed mindset, when you look at things are just black and white. There's no middle ground. Eh? And that's how you come also to a decision where you think, okay, I just need to end this. There's no other way. And you start to think there is no other way. Eh? So that's a fixed mindset. But the growth mindset, so you believe you can learn, you believe you can grow through from the challenges. Eh? So that's actually the growth mindset. When you have a grown mindset, the setback is not a final verdict on your abilities. That's not a final verdict on your ability. It's a stepping stone. It's a build. You build resilience, making you emotionally stronger and better able to bounce back when life inevitably knocks you down. When you find yourself on the floor, your mindset is that this is not it. So, and I can tell you, my friend, if you believe that this is it, it's gonna be it. Because you are telling every cell in your body that I'm done. When you say you are done, you are done. You're gonna die. And I'm not saying this to frighten you. And I'm just saying that your mindset, it's very strong. And as I said, when you started to believe that, slowly by slowly, it starts a small voice that telling you. But when you start to believe that, it goes on and on until you start to believe and see even reality. You start to see that it's true. Even if I tell you, let me tell you how your mind works in a simple term. If I tell you now, okay, if I tell you now, you all know France, okay? If I tell you, let's say for example, I said France is a witch, okay? I hope he's not gonna, so I'm just giving an example of someone I know, okay, my colleague. So let's say, for example, we say France is a witch. I tell you now that, I tell you, my friend, you know, you must be careful of France. France is a witch. And let me say that is actually a lie. All right? So, and it's a lie, okay? Yeah. So what happened? It's just I told you that your mind, no matter how, now I told you that this. So when you go and see France, how would you react? How would you relate to France? So you would definitely actually relate differently to France, isn't it? Okay. So you started to see, even if, let's say for example, somebody comes and tells you, no, that's not true. It's not, but your mind has been locked into that. So you definitely still actually think about, you started to see even now when you see France, you started even looking at him that it is true. You see, he doesn't even see. How does he see people? You started to see reality that are not there because you locked premises. You locked in a value that you now start to believe, and then Now, because your mind believed that, so your mind start to look for signs to confirm that. It started to look for things now to confirm, not to negate it, but to confirm. So that's why people have to be careful when they say things in public. So even people, when they come in public and say, so and so have done this, even let's say, for example, you accuse somebody has raped somebody. So, and it's not true. No matter how much that they're going to rewrite again and say, no, the rape case was not true. People have locked it in already. So it has been locked in. And they started to see already, you know, certain things about that person. They never seen it before, but just because they heard that he raped somebody, now they started to see things. You understand?
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
All right. So what I'm going to do, I spoke about France earlier on. So I'm going to call Tate France. He's someone who also experienced suicidal thought, you know, or maybe experienced that. And I'm going to talk to him just to consolidate some of the things that that I'm talking about, or just to, you know, to give you a little bit. And then from there, we will then continue again on this. So, well, stay tuned. We will have, actually, I will be talking to Tate France. For now, let me leave you with music from who? See you again. No. I'm on a music that is... Okay. All right. Let me just give you this one. So, Asha.
Hey, not what you used to. You gotta do something different than me.
Your brain, open your, go pay for dinner. All right, that's Asha with a song. I think it's a Kizomba song. All right, so welcome back. And our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 12. As I said earlier on, at 12 o'clock, I will be contacting Mr. Franz to kind of give us, you know, also his perspective on this, on our topic today. Mr. Franz, are you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
So how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. It's good to have on the show. So today we're talking about how do events and challenges, or just life itself, push a person to the point where they feel that it's no longer worth living. So what are your point? What are your perspective on this?
Okay, we also need to know that events are not isolated.
Yeah.
The only problem we have is when we isolate events, kind of highlight them and then color them, you know, give them a kind of a prominent, you know, a prominent position.
Yeah.
And then from there, we start using those events as a source of our interpretation of life.
Yeah.
Which culminates into our interpretation of life becomes the source of our emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And then our emotions then influence our decision making.
Yeah.
And that's how we get it wrong. You see, a person like me, I think, because I was born blind, and in our days, those days,
yeah,
it was very strong. You know, sentiments were very strong.
Yeah.
Because from a cultural perspective, that is a curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are a cursed child.
Has that been, okay, just before gone, before, has that been communicated to you? So in what way that has been communicated to you, culturally and even maybe from home, not actually maybe the case, but from other people, that could have been the case. How has that been communicated to you, and how did you have taken that to the point how you decide your life should be?
Look, this thing will start from home.
Yeah.
The person who really helped me, you know, cement that perspective, really.
Yeah.
To believe in it was my mother. So whenever they had a misunderstanding with my father, or whenever she is, you know, and she will say, what have I done to God that he gives me, you know, that brought already a belief that you must have done something for you to give birth to a child who is blind.
Yeah.
But in my growing up, you know, as a child, it started eating me up.
Yeah.
Inside.
Mm.
That's an event. But then luckily I had a dream of a man.
Yeah.
Who took me to his garden. I was very young. I think I was 7 years.
Yeah.
This man took me to his garden, and he took a cup, and he took one of the fruits from the garden and twisted the fruit and made juice and gave me to drink.
Yeah.
And he told me that you are not a curse.
Yeah.
You know, if you hear anybody saying you are a curse, you should know that is a lie.
Mm.
You are not a curse. You are a blessing. You are just like any other child. The only difference is that you cannot see.
Yeah.
There are many people who cannot see in the world. You are not the only one.
Mm.
So when I woke up from that dream, I had a different event. You know? And I had a different interpretation of my life.
Yeah.
I grew up with that.
Yeah.
But then things change as you grow up, you know, started to believe that maybe it was just an illusion and so on and so forth.
you think that it was just an illusion of a dream. It's not because of how yes. people treat you also. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So I started to feel that maybe it was just but I could feel in my inside that event was the correct event for my life.
Mm.
It was supposed to be a good source of interpretation of my life and how I see myself.
Mm.
That started getting lost. And that's when I find myself, you know, being suicidal again.
Yeah.
At the age of 20, 21, you know, I struggled with suicide. And I attempted it 7 times to end my life.
Yeah. Just there. What were you telling yourself? Because this is now how you started to see things maybe differently. The reality, like what you have in dream now, you kind of start. This is actually what the dream says, and what I'm experiencing is totally different. So, and what is that you have been telling yourself that lead you to think of ending your life? Because this is where most people find themselves. Yeah.
First of all, you need to know that when you are suicidal, and I have to point it very clear here because I've gone through this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you come to the point where you are resentful.
Mm.
You are full. You're full of resentment.
Mm.
And you start to be full of yourself. To the point that everything must be done. I mean, you expect people to do things certain way.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it certain way, or if they say it in a different way, then they mean, you know, because you create your own event.
Yeah.
That in fact don't exist. And you start to look for any emotional string.
Yeah.
To hold on to as a justification of what you think you want to do.
Yeah.
So, say for example, you know, we are all likely not to perform well in school because of one factor or the other. Okay?
Mm.
That's normal. We are not successful in everything.
Yeah.
So, and then I remember my parents telling me, you are now grown.
Yeah.
You are now on your own. You can now see what to do.
Mm.
So inside me, there were two events. One gives me freedom to say, okay, I'm grown up. I think I can decide what to do.
Yeah.
The other one is saying, no, these people, just because you are blind, they are just trying to get you off.
Mm.
In a good way. In a good way.
Mm.
So don't believe that you are grown up. How is it that they are assisting the one who can see, who is even older than you? They are assisting him, and they are telling you are grown up.
Mm.
What is that? So that event is the one that got me. I think it's true.
Yeah.
But
you realize that that's still an interpretation you're making, that these people, they just want to get rid of me. And what you see, the process already, what you're saying to yourself is actually determining how you then, your action would be.
Exactly.
Mm.
So this is an event creating an interpretation, and an interpretation creating an emotion.
Yeah.
Then an emotion creates a belief.
Yeah.
Then the belief creates the decision.
Yeah.
So, now, I decided, okay, I'm grown up, which means I can end myself.
Mm.
Things are not moving, and these people fight a lot. They fight just because they've been fighting since I was young.
Yeah.
So maybe if I die, these people will reconcile and be at peace, since I'm the one who is a plague in this family.
Yeah.
Yeah, because since I was born, I think the reason of their fighting is because I was born in this family.
Mm.
So I started to believe that it was a mistake. It was a congenital mistake for me to be born.
Yeah.
So it was also a congenital mistake for me to be cut and pasted in this particular family.
Mm. And also that kind of the belief that you are a curse, that becoming magnified by the situation that you see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But situations were emotional. They were not practical.
Yeah.
And they were not real.
Mm.
They were just emotional.
Mm.
And this is where we say, because we think life is emotional. Life is not emotional. Life is practical.
Yeah.
And life is real.
Yeah.
And you see, reality and emotion, these two don't go hand in hand. This is one thing that we need to understand.
Yeah.
Emotions are built on a perception.
Mm.
And perceptions are sometimes as a result of wrong interpretation of events.
Yeah.
And events come and go. We cannot rely on one event. They come and go.
Yeah.
So, but then, again, something, somebody said something. So somebody said something that made me think.
Yeah.
Because that somebody said, no, look, you can become what you want to become.
Mm.
But the environment where you are is the one that cannot allow you to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So you need a different environment. Then I started to say, oh, what if this is true? And I also had a pastor preaching and said that Jesus did not perform miracles in Nazareth where he was born.
Yeah.
Because the people in that is where he was born did not believe in what he was claiming to be. And so it was a wrong environment for him.
Yeah.
He went to Capernaum. And when he arrived in Capernaum, there it was a different environment, and then he became, you know, he became famous.
Mm.
So that to me cooked as something else to me. And then I went back to that dream. I started reinterpreting, you know, the event.
Yeah.
Say, no, I don't think. Then I started to realize that, no, I don't think anybody can end my life because of somebody.
Yeah.
I think I can end my life because of me.
Mm.
When I don't know who I am. So when I don't know who I am, I can end my life.
Yeah.
Because I will start to think that this is all about life. So life is not worth living.
Yeah.
I'm ending it. But if you know who you are, you will know what you want.
Mm.
And you will know where to get what you want.
Yeah. And believing in the ability that you can have.
Yes. Mm. You start developing abilities that can help you become who you think you are.
Yeah.
So.
And that's a great point to make, because, you know, when you start to believe in what you think you can become and really becoming to believe that, you can become that. It's just the same as that if you start to believe that you're worthless and your life have no meaning, you actually can become that. And that's how you end up ending your own life.
In fact, exactly, because that, you know, life is like drink Oppo.
Yeah.
You need water to dilute it. So events are like that.
Mm.
Events on their own, they are meaning, they are nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
But they become something when interpretation is there.
Mm.
When you start to contemplate the meaning of the event.
Yeah.
That's where you can get emotion from it.
Yeah.
And that's where you can get perception, which goes into belief and then influence your decision, you know, making process.
Yeah. But what I want also, just to add there, what I want also people to understand is the roller coaster that you went through. Because your different interpretation always lead you to different, you know, course of action or emotion, you know. So, and I think this is where now people actually need to realize that it's not an amen when I think about something to think that that's the way it is. It could be exactly. Another option that I need to look at. Yeah.
Exactly, because your mind is very vast. Mm. Look at your mind like you are looking at a forest.
Yeah.
You don't have one species of bush of bushes in a forest.
Yeah.
You have a variety of bushes, and they host variety of of living creatures. So you only don't have cherry bush in a forest.
Yeah.
There are many bushes. Some of them are big. Some of them are just germinating.
Yeah.
So you can't be absolute.
Exactly. Yeah.
To think that the way you think about life is alpha or omega.
Mm.
So then I started to ask for in the families to give me music instruments, because I started to think about the business that I want to establish.
Yeah.
And nobody really believed in that.
Yeah.
So then I'm about to be discouraged. Then you see, something tells me, no, this environment, there is no support. I will find another environment where there is support.
Yeah.
So that's when I said, okay, I'm going to stay in Ongwediva. And in Ongwediva, that's where I got my first, music instrument, and that's when I kicked off my small business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes the environment can play a role.
Exactly.
In creating events that are both negative, which will lead us into negative end or positive end. Mm. The environment plays a very, very, very big role.
And that's a very important point you're making, because if you find that you constantly find yourself doing maybe something that you don't want to, or feeling in the way that you don't want to feel, look also at your environment. So because the environment, that environment would always generate the same emotion and the same, because it's the same environment, So, and I think that's a very good point to make. Mm.
So the environment, but then there are two environments in which a human being finds himself.
Yeah.
There is a physical environment, which is your immediate, location.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you can change that location into a new location, but the mental environment is not changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where danger comes.
Mm.
Because what needs to change is your psychological environment.
Yeah, and then it doesn't happen by itself.
No.
It's not just that, I let it, but you got to do something.
You have to make a decision.
Yeah.
That, you see, events are like files. The way you look at the computer, you have a file that is in the computer. Let me say, maybe, extensions like, it's like a website. When your mind is like a website, like a computer that is online. You are connected to internet.
Yeah.
So, and events are like pop-ups of this automatic pop-up that just pop up.
Yeah.
It's up to you if you want to click on it and open that pop-up or you leave it.
Yeah.
Events are like that. Thoughts in our mind come and go.
Mm.
It's up to us. We make a choice to entertain those thoughts.
Yeah.
And from those thoughts, we create interpretation that gives birth to emotions, and they give birth to perception.
Yeah.
And then they give birth to belief, which is a very dangerous, level.
Yeah.
And then it gives birth to decision making.
Yeah. And I just want to add on the pop-up that you're talking about, is, as you can say, that these are pop-up. We need to understand as a human being that our thought, when thoughts are popping up, we are not our thought. We can choose, we can be separate ourselves from thought and be able to choose whether should I entertain that thought or I should not entertain that thought. So, because otherwise many people think that what they think is what is who they are. Yeah.
Yes. Immediately, your computer is not just proper.
Yeah.
So your computer is not a proper.
Mm.
So, but how? That's where we even in computers we get viruses, and we get hacked because you just see a pop-up and you click on it.
Yeah.
But so we need to come up with the defensive mechanism.
Yeah.
That's why the website optimizer, they created something that is called pop-up blocker.
Mm.
You know, the pop-up, the thing comes up and it is blocked. When you know who you are, you will not entertain every thought that comes into your mind.
Mm.
Because it is natural for your mind to have thoughts.
It's what it does. It's what it does. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it does.
Yeah. And when it does that, it doesn't think that it's actually doing you injustice. Yes. It's actually saying it's actually helping you. So it's up to you
it's
now
just
to decide.
Suggestions.
Yeah, just suggestions. Mm.
Take a thought as a suggestion. You can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But the process of taking or leaving it requires knowledge and wisdom and self-awareness.
Mm.
So when the day I became self-aware was the day I was free.
Yeah.
From every perception, first of all, from myself, and secondly, from everyone else.
Mm.
Because I now knew that I can do better for myself than sitting down and thinking about what people think about me.
Yeah. Tell us that process, normally I focus on process. Tell us at that process when you come to a point where you decide, I actually can do better, you know, because that's where sometimes other people can't get to that stage. So how did that process happen?
Look, when you come to, when you come to that process, you know, take your mind as a desktop.
Yeah.
Where, you know, your desktop is full of stuff, you know, that are just scattered around. And then you are just going around, say, you are deleting certain things out of that, and your desktop becomes clean.
Yeah.
Or let me say, even computers, sometimes we downloaded applications that are not just, you know, they are just occupying space.
Yeah.
You delete them, and you see that your computer starts to process things faster because, the hard drive is relieved and so forth.
Mm.
Yeah, a lot of debt is out. Now, or consider yourself as somebody that has been in a very hot place, and then you go outside, and then there was this, soft breeze that comes, you feel relief.
Mm.
So the process, how I came to that realization was very simple.
Yeah.
I sat down and processed myself a question.
Yeah.
Is suicide the solution?
Mm.
Yes or no? Okay, if it is, what if it is not the solution?
Mm.
Then what? After suicide, then what?
Mm.
Then I ask myself, what if there is more to life than what I think?
Mm.
That question, that what if there is more to life than what I think?
Yeah.
Threw me to the point, say, okay, let me find out the more to the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me start a process where I can find out the more to the life.
Yeah.
What can I do?
Yeah.
I took a small radio. I told my father, give me your radio. So I went to BBC and I started listening to news.
Mm.
And I started listening to something that can cultivate a certain new knowledge and the perspective in me.
Mm.
And then I'll come and tell my father, this is what happened. Wait. This is what happened. Wait.
Yeah.
And then my father will say, look, you see, you can be an analyst.
Yeah.
You can be a political analyst.
Yeah.
If you listen to news and you know you make sense of what is happening, you can give perspective to. And
yeah.
My father did not know that he was cultivating something in me.
Yeah. Before you go on, there's a point that I don't want people missing it. So
yeah.
With the point of you came to a point where you become self-evaluating, you know, you're kind of
yeah.
like evaluating yourself and the actions that you actually took, because sometimes we become more conditioned by our culture, by our previous experiences. You come to a point now where you're thinking, is this true? Is this right for me? So you come to a point where you're actually asking that. And then from that critical evaluation of yourself, then you actually then find the way you can go. Because most of the time, we just let life flow as it is without really being critical about things that we have been taught or things that we have learned in life. Yeah.
Because we don't like self-introspection.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we think we are all correct.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one sign of suicide.
You're right.
When you think you are a victim of anybody else, so you put yourself as a victim.
Mm.
And you start to think that anybody else has something against you.
Mm.
And you are a victim.
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, you start to think that you are innocent.
Yeah.
You have nothing, you have done nothing wrong at all.
This is just happening to me from other people.
It's just happening to me.
Mm.
And then you start to ask yourself a question. Why, what have I done to deserve this?
Mm.
You start telling yourself you don't deserve what you are going through.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous level of thinking.
Yeah.
That is a dangerous level of thinking, because when you reach that point, you start looking for trigger. Because most people who commit suicide, they have nothing in them that justifies suicide. They look for external triggers.
To justify that.
Because inside, they cannot find a justifiable reason enough to take them down. So I'm talking about this because I have experienced suicide and I've tried to commit suicide seven times in my life. So when you reach this point, the moment you start telling yourself that you don't deserve what you are going through.
Yeah.
Everybody hates you. Everybody has something against you. You are a victim, which is innocent.
Mm.
You are prey, and they are predators.
Mm.
Then you start to cultivate a ground.
A belief that this is the right, this is the justified way to go, you know?
Yes. Mm. You start to lay off a foundation on which you should then commit suicide, because suicide is an altar building.
Yeah.
But it is on a foundation. What's that foundation? So let me just tell you that most of the thoughts that come in our mind, or most of the emotions, don't exist practically.
Yeah. Mm.
They are just...
A lot of them, yeah.
Yes,
mm.
A lot of them don't exist.
Yeah.
They are just empty thoughts.
Mm.
So, and you are the one that is working very hard to fill them up.
Mm.
Like you are having a lot of empty containers.
Yeah.
And you are the one that is supposed to fill them with whatever you choose to fill them in.
Exactly, yeah.
So now you
in themselves, in themselves, in nothing, unless you actually decide to act on them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm.
So most of the emotions are empty containers that we ourselves are filling up.
Yeah.
So And then now you start to look for a trigger from outside. Now, you start to look for a trigger from outside. Somebody must just say a word. Then you will take it up. But you yourself has no reason internally to take it up and commit suicide. Somebody must just say something so that you can take that job. The mistake we are doing is to professionalize problems. I mean, professionalize the solution of problems.
Can you explain that a bit? So what do you mean by professionalizing the problem? Look, I get the idea, but just for someone listening.
So our life is very practical.
Yeah.
And the practicalities of life are unique from one person to the other. So, and I'm not dismissing the ability of professional, you know, counseling.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that life is more practical than it should be professional.
Yeah.
That's, you see, if you go to somebody who has never gone through suicide,
yeah,
they will give you a professional counseling, but it may not be practical. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So most people that are becoming blind today, and they call me, I tell them, welcome to the club.
Yeah. So, yeah, no. I get your point. I really get a point. That's why sometimes you need to get a real experience for people who have gone through that. And and also listening now, like when people are listening to, when I'm listening to you, I get to understand that this is what a person that's going through this suicidal thought, this is what they go through. And then as an example from you, I can be able now to relate that to someone else to say, this is what people who go through this possibly feel and all that. It might not be the same all the time. We have to understand that human being from different environment and different background may feel differently or may experience differently, as we have seen it when I said from the introduction that people can go through the same thing but feel differently. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's say you have done something.
Yeah.
And you are afraid of reputation to be damaged.
Yeah.
You know, you have built your life so much that you are afraid of losing friends and so forth. You would contemplate to say, if I commit suicide, that is going to be the end.
Yeah.
But a thought will come to say, look, what if reputational damage is temporal?
Yeah.
What if there is something permanent which is good out of this chaos? Once you come to that level of thinking, you will say, okay, there is more to this situation.
Yeah.
Let me find out the more in this situation. So, now, look at a situation like a cabbage. You know, cabbage that is put there.
Yeah.
It is how you cut it what will determine what you are going to make out of cabbage. So you will decide, I want to make cabbage soup or cabbage salad.
Yeah.
It's up to you. The problem is not the cabbage, it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
The problem is not the situation.
Exactly, it's
what you make of the situation. It's not how you get into the situation, it's how you come out.
How you respond to that, how you react to that, yeah.
So you said, maybe there's more to this situation. Let me find out the more.
Okay.
And most of us, we become emotional to the point that even when you are corrected, say, my brother, that's not how you do it. You think you are hated.
Yeah.
But I want to tell somebody today, if you are contemplating to commit suicide, what is going through your mind right now is not real.
Yeah.
Give your mind second chance.
Yeah.
It will produce something better than what you have right now. And then after that, you will even look back and say, you were making a mistake trying to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what I wanted actually you at the end to kind of like, okay, how do we help somebody that right now may be listening to us and going through these emotions, going through this thought? How do we then help? You mentioned, you touched on already, because that's what I wanted. But anything else before I let you go on that? Let's say, for example, we have someone listening to us and he's found himself in these situations. I mean, you said something already that is very powerful, but anything you want to add on?
Look at your situation like a guava tree.
Yeah.
Eating, you know, having fruits that are, you know, that are ripe, you know. It's all, you know, ripened fruit.
Yeah.
And then you want to eat some guavas. And then you eat a guava that is not sweet. Will you conclude that all fruit on that guava tree are tasting the same?
Mm.
You will look for a sweeter fruit.
Yeah.
So that's the same, you know, when you are in an environment, when you are provoked by a situation, maybe it's a breakup. It's not a breakup. It's a fix-up.
Yeah.
Don't look at it as a breakup. Look at it as a fix-up. That, you know, it takes something broken to be fixed. You don't fix things that are not broken.
That are not broken, yeah.
It takes something broken to be fixed. So, if you are broken right now, which means you are fixable, you can be fixed.
Mm.
Give yourself second chance. The problem we have in life, we build our life on a perception.
Yeah, on a
perceptions are not real.
Yeah.
In life, we are prone to fail. Whether it is in business or in academics or in a relationship, we are all prone to fail. And failure is not the end.
Yeah.
The end is what we do with the failure. So when we say, let me give myself a second chance, let me heal, and let me try again.
Mm.
So, you don't think suicide is a solution. The solution is your mental environment needs to be transformed.
Yeah.
And you see, there is a Bible verse that says, be transformed in the renewing of your mind. So, it is our mind that once we are transformed, we are able to be the transformation that we want.
Yeah.
Because you need to be, the who you are should not come from anybody else.
Mm.
It should come from you. Know who you are. Most of us men, we are dying because of financial stress.
Yeah.
Because we want to please who and who and who. But Think of it this way.
And actually thinking, being shameful because of how we think, how people think about us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So if you can afford a donkey Botswana, be proud of the donkey Botswana that you are driving.
Yeah.
Until such a time when you can afford a better car.
Yeah.
Your salary is enough for you. It's not for, you are not earning a salary for somebody else.
Mm.
The salary is yours because you are paid for the hours and for your performance. When there is a meeting to evaluate you, you don't go there. It's not a family meeting. You don't call your family to go there.
Yeah.
You go there yourself.
Mm.
So the prime focus in your life, as far as your money is concerned, is you, is to build and improve you.
Yeah.
And if you can afford, that's when you can afford to help somebody else here and there.
All right.
So we need to first understand, why am I working?
All right. So no, Mr. Franz, thank you really. It was great having you on the show today, and your experience And what you took us through, really, I believe that it does help some people who are listening, who probably feel the same way. And hopefully that make a difference, that make even in one, just one person to change their mind of what they wanted to do. That actually what we are trying to achieve here. Thank you for coming through. And sure, we will definitely have you in the future again. All right.
Thank you very much. You always have good show topics.
No,
they are very practical. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
All right. That was Tate France, and really appreciate his input. We wanted to have also someone who have gone through that, and lucky enough, he's my colleague, and he came through and he decided, as I said, we...
All eligible Namibian voters who missed out on last year's registration of voters, do not despair. The supplementary registration of voters takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August 2025 in preparation for the 2025 regional councils and local authority elections. The Electoral Commission of Namibia encourages all Namibian citizens who reside in local authority areas to register if they meet the requirements. To register, simply bring proof of your identity, age, and Namibian citizenship. To register for local authority elections, ensure you have proof of residence for the last 12 months. Not able to prove your residency in a local authority? Don't worry, you can confirm your residency by way of a sworn affidavit at the registration point. A right not exercised is a privilege wasted. Do not neglect your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right. Register to vote.
Yes, register to vote. That's your civic right, and it's your responsibility. All right. So welcome back. Our time is about 46 minutes past the hour of 12. And we go up to 1 o'clock. So, well, if you want to come through and really, and as I said, we created the Eagle FM created a platform. As you see, we have shows that try to address different aspect of life, you know, as much as we concentrate much of the time on economic business and all that, is to help to deal with bread and butter issues. So we also focus on you, with a program like this. You have to be in optimal well-being, to be able to perform, to be able to think, to be able to, you know, to contribute, to the wellness, to the well-being of this country. So, well, we thank him again for really that sometimes it's not easy. There aren't people, the reason why a program like this where there aren't people who come in here really and said, I have been suicidal, openly said, I have been suicidal and this is what I have went through. And this is what we want. We want people out there to understand, to hear that, because at some point, there are people who think he is only one in the world who is actually feeling that way. He thinks that he is the only one in the world actually feeling that way. He only one who have that problem. So when we have other people coming through, testifying what they have gone through and what they have done, and this is, we are at a critical point in our society. This should be even now become an emergency. It should become an emergency. So the suicide in our country should become an emergency. So it's something that we need to take seriously, and we're taking it seriously here on Eagle FM, and especially on this program that actually meant to deal with things like that. So, so you're welcome. Your stories. Your story may really save somebody. And you have no idea. It may save your cousin. It may save your sister. It may save your, you know, your relative. It may save somebody, you know, very important. It may save a doctor who will actually, you know, treat your son or treat your child. So you understand the ripple. It's quite important. All right. So that's why we encourage you, to actually always, you know, participate on a program like this, especially share your own understanding, your contribute. And if you do want to do that, 08333 66091 in Ondangwe Studio, 08333 66091. That's the number you should dial to come through. So we have about 11 minutes. We still have about 11 minutes for you to come through and have your say. So let's have, I think we have been talking for a while. Let's have a quick music break and then we continue or wrap up when we come back.
I'm wide awake. Wish I knew then what I know now. Wouldn't dive in, wouldn't bow down. Gravity hurts, you made it so sweet. Till I woke up on the concrete. Falling from cloud nine. Crashing from the high. I'm letting go to.
Very good. Good afternoon or good morning.
Afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
Good.
Yeah.
On the program you were with me at the
France. Yeah.
France. Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's true. You know, I think what you said. Eh?
Yeah.
I might not be one of the people, but my advice to others.
But do you know? It's actually a different intensity. at yes, one yes. point or another, every one of us have thought of it. Yeah. So it's the intensity. At what intensity have you actually thought it, you know? At one point, everyone has come into their mind.
Into that point of saying, look,
yeah.
I wish...
Yeah, even if just a shout, oh, you know, you kind of find yourself so much stressed and you got to, oh, I wish I just not here anymore. You understand? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, it's true. No, but the only thing that, you know, for me that keeps going, is the way that I know that I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, maybe, you know, I think of maybe my situation is even better than the other person who is on that side.
Exactly.
Who is dying. Yes. You know, a good example is, you know, you are driving your car, and maybe you've got a small problem on your car, and you know, maybe it might not reach where I'm going. Then on your way, then you just see this guy with another car that is even smoking heavier. And then the guy overtakes you. How much courage do you gain there? I can guarantee you. You say, I think mine is better, You understand?
Yeah. No, yeah. No, what you're saying is exactly, you know, I was coming, I live in Ongwediva. I was driving to back home, you know, I'm coming from Ondangwa because our studio is in Ondangwa. Yes. And then, you know, you know when you're thinking kind of your problems, you know, all these problems you have and think. And then I'm passing by Opoto, it's a place called Opoto. And then there was this man. He actually walking on his knees, and he can't actually get up, you know? And he's crawling. It's like he's walking like a dog, like an animal. You understand? Yeah. And then when I look at him, oh man, I literally cried, you know? Yeah. Because I think I'm here thinking of, you know, of this problem, and I kind of like I'm the one in the worst problem than ever. And here is someone who can't even walk, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm here in this beautiful car, or, you know, and I can go and buy whatever I want to drink. And, you know.
To all the things you can run, you can do whatever.
Exactly. I can run. I seem to be in a good health. And,
you realize, but this person is not complaining, eh?
Exactly.
And that's what I was. Look at this Paralympics or the guys, those musicians, even Tour de France.
Yeah.
Is it? You might think, me, I'm in the worst situation.
Mm.
Now you ask, but how did Tour de France, how is he making? You can see him sometimes he's singing and he's playing music, eh?
Yeah.
And then yet you who have got, who is having almost everything.
Exactly, who can see, who, you know.
Can see, who can do anything.
You have more advantage than him.
Advantage.
Yeah.
And then you think of just one problem that came on that day.
Yeah.
You forget about how many lives, how long have I lived? How many problems did I manage to overcome? Is it? And only this one should take me out.
Yeah.
In as much as you think of that, okay, let me go. Think of, let me first think of, how about a person who doesn't walk?
Yeah.
What about a person who have never seen before in their lifetime?
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
But you find these people are laughing and they're smiling. They are very happy.
Very, very, very happy. Yeah.
Yes. And then here you are, you want to complain.
You actually make, one thing, the point he makes is that you make yourself a victim. Once you make yourself a victim, the world turns against you.
Yeah.
You started to see everything is against you.
Exactly, and that's the reason why you see sometimes we tend to want people to love us, but yet you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
You see? First thing, love should start with you. How much do you love yourself?
Mm.
And how much do you appreciate yourself to be where you are?
Yeah, just to be alive, it's enough to appreciate.
Just to wake up.
Yeah.
Other people went to sleep, they never woke up. Not because they don't want, or because they are worse than you, or you are better than them. No.
Maybe those who don't wake up, at least they went to rest. Just think about someone who's lying in bed in a hospital. All he wants to move, just to move a little bit. He can't move. Just to move a little bit, you know, maybe to see the sunshine or whatever. But you can run, you can eat, you can do whatever.
Whatever.
And you don't appreciate that, you know?
Look, when it comes to
yeah.
in bed, that I've got an experience.
Yeah.
You know, at one point I went into a coma. And that that time, no, I don't know. But you know, as much as I was in a coma, you know, I was fighting. I think I didn't want to leave the world, you know. And that spirit, I don't know. But then you find the person who is able walking, he's not fighting.
Yeah.
For himself to be alive. Because you can do more than what you think. The problem is there to make you strong.
Yeah.
Problems don't come because they come to weak people. And that's what people must understand. When a problem comes, it comes to people who are strong.
Yeah.
And you should make sure when a problem arrives, it's there to teach you something.
Exactly.
Yes. Financial stress, financial problems. Look, that thing which we normally call financial problems, what is it that you want to do?
Yeah. The financial problem is that, first of all, it's your this I'm saying it's your own doing. First of all, is that your expectations, it's beyond what you can have. By recognizing that I only have $100 and I should be able to spend within the $100 that I do. So, but what we do is that I want that and that and that. I deserve that and that and that. But my $100 can't pay that I deserve. That's how it become a problem.
Yes. And look, I want to buy a car today. Eh? But I go to the bank, they tell me, no, you need to deposit.
Yeah.
Then immediately I start to get frustrated. No. The point is, I have to deposit. Then then you start asking yourself, okay, what is it that I can do? Maybe if I don't have deposit.
Yeah.
Eh? Then you go back to the bank. Ah, don't you have those type of offers that, you know, you pay in a balloon format? They'll tell you, no, that one comes in September or October.
Yeah.
Eh? Then you start multiplying. That's how you should plan. No, obviously you want to own a car. You know I can afford to pay it.
Mm.
But I don't have this deposit of 80,000, 100,000.
Yeah.
Which we all agree. So then you listen to, if that thing is there, be patient. Eh?
Yeah. Do you know that?
Exactly. That time will come. Mm. Then you go to the bank again. You say, no, that offer you guys, you said, is it still there? Or then I said, no, that is, it's every year.
Mm.
Okay. No, can I afford now? Can you give me the thing now? Okay, yeah. No, you qualify. Okay, no. Then you get the car, you get money.
Yeah.
You have to have a little bit patient. Because the problem came to test you, to make you strong.
Yeah. But I always tell people that problems are not problem in reality. They are just problem in your mind.
Yes.
So if you don't have money, let's say, for example, I don't have money this month to pay my rent. So it's only a problem in your mind. The reality is just that you don't have money.
Yes.
You understand?
You
don't have it. No matter how much you, if you know that this month, nobody will be able to give me money to be able to do that. You know that you don't have, no matter how much you think, you will not have it.
Yes.
So you only create a problem in your mind of not having that money. You understand?
By thinking that for you not having money is someone's problem who brought it to you.
Exactly.
Not you yourself. Because we should the blame. We said, I was supposed to have money.
Yeah.
Because of women who have money.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a tenant sometimes. My tenant doesn't pay. Frequently, but then I know this guy, if he pays, it's fine.
Yeah,
if he doesn't pay, I should come up with another mechanism. I don't want to blame myself for that.
Is it?
Mm. Yes, because you have to make a room, you see, what they call room for tolerance.
Yeah,
mm. You know, something might come, something might not come. So, how do you deal with those type of things?
Yeah,
always think of yourself, say, look, I'm lucky, there is someone somewhere. I can't see.
I can tell you, your life is
even worse than me.
Your life is far, far, far better than many people.
Yes.
Yeah. As we speak, you think have to think about in the world. As we speak, there are people who every moment they are watching, they are afraid the bullet will come and kill them. And
look at Gaza.
Look at Gaza. Look at Sudan.
Sudan.
Look, you know.
Ukraine. Mm. Those people had a nice life.
Yeah.
Look at Israel itself in Iran.
Yeah. So
Israel didn't know that one day they woke up without a house.
Yeah.
Here you woke up. The only thing you need is something that have got no impact too much on you.
Exactly.
You know, I need a car, but I've got food at home. So if I eat and I'm full, am I going to die? No.
Yeah.
If I don't have a car, can't I walk?
You can. You have taxi available all the time. Yeah.
Look at this. I always drive frequently around.
Yeah.
I work. My job is more on the shoot side.
Yeah.
You get this kid walk 10 kilos. Imagine the kid is coming from somewhere there close to you know this in a hall somewhere there.
Yeah.
At the cave there. At the cave there, the kid walk from that point, going to that school there, you know. What is school name? You know, you get into the gravel that goes as if you are going to Congo.
Yeah.
Somewhere there. You see, those kids, they walk.
Yeah.
Sometimes I give them lift, eh? You work, you say, aye. Then you let them get into your car. Then you drive them, you drop them there. You know how much they appreciate?
Yeah. Very much so.
And then, but they don't give up. That no, it's court. Even this court we are complaining about.
Exactly.
We are walking to school.
Mm.
They are still walking to school. Genuinely. And here I am. Like, the, you know, I like some, you know, we should learn a lot of things from other people.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Look at the people who live. We have, sometimes people accept the situation. These people who cannot afford. We say we have got medical aid, we have separate, we have put ourselves into classes.
Yeah.
Someone goes to Katutura, you get rent. And at the same time, a person goes to Katutura, where we are saying there's no facilities, survives. A person who goes to med clinic or Muhammad dies.
Yeah. You get rent. Let's do this next Saturday, man.
No, but at least people, you know, we should just be happy that, no, God have given us life.
Yeah.
And that is better than others.
All right.
In terms of problems, in terms of what we call create problems, we create.
Exactly.
And I think mine is better than the other person.
Yeah.
So. Yes. Always think of that. That's when you know. Encourage yourself.
Great, man.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's actually leave us. Our time is 6 minutes past one, and that's bring us to the end of Mind Matters. Join me next week. We haven't finished this topic. There's still a lot. I said there are three principles that we're going to cover, but we haven't even finished the first principle. So we continue next week on this very subject. Make sure that you tune in, and I will leave you in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hand of the Queen of the Airwaves. Her name is the Matriarch. Welcome to. I think you're getting now into Elizabeth world. Be ready. It's explosive. From me, Michael Chiavelli, I wish you a beautiful Saturday. And I will talk to you on Monday on Unpacking the Day. Goodbye.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn.
Why'd you have to leave so soon? Why'd you have to go?
Been through.
Why'd you have to leave me when I needed you the most?
Talking to you.
Cause I don't really know how to tell you.
Had to switch up. Feeling look at me, different, see the bigger picture.
I know you're in a better place, but it's always gonna hurt.
Carry on. How can give we not talk about family? My family's all that we carry on.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
How do I breathe without you? I'm feeling so cold. I'll be waiting right here for you till the day you're home. Carry on. It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
How can we not talk about family? My family's been a long day without you, my friend.